Hi, everybody. My name is Dave, and alas, I remain an alcoholic. We're going to talk a little bit about sponsorship now, and we're going to start off by talking about how do you find a good sponsor. What do you look for when you're trying to choose somebody to be your sponsor? When I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, there was a coffee bar like that one back there, and behind it was a sign that says, if you don't know, ask your sponsor. If you don't have a sponsor, get one. And I didn't even know what a sponsor was. So I had to, first of all, find out, what is a sponsor? What do they do? Why do I need one? I don't know if you've looked in the big book, but sponsor, the word sponsor does not even appear in the first 164 pages of the big book. I used to say that the word sponsor does not appear in the big book. See, all you have that, to some alcoholics, that is a challenge. Okay? That's like throwing down the gauntlet. So one day a guy comes up to me and he says, you're wrong. I mean, this is some weeks later, okay? Because he has looked in there word by word and he's found it. It's in one of the stories in the third edition that was published in the mid-1970s. So now I'm very careful to qualify. It does not appear in the first 164 pages of the big book. The first place it appears, if you want to know, is on page 47 in the 12 and 12. So I'm throwing down the gauntlet again. So anyway, you know, why do you need a sponsor? Well, mostly because Alcoholics Anonymous is a pretty confusing place to come into. You know, you come in here and you find people who were winos last year are now walking around openly, publicly praying and talking about God and so forth. And, you know, it's a little confusing, you know, and they use a lot of bad language and all that sort of thing. And, you know, they sit in church basements in AA meetings, cursing and swearing and drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes like they used to do in bars, only it's coffee instead of booze. And you need somebody to help you figure out what this is all about. You need somebody, you know, you just can't, most of us just can't go in a big room full of people, especially when we're new, and talk about a lot of things. You know, I mean, you or I, either one, could write a pretty good generic fourth step that would fit anybody. Because we all do the same thing. You know, we drink too much, we lose control of ourselves, we get promiscuous, we do embarrassing things, you know, we take our clothes off at inappropriate times, we say inappropriate things, we blubber and snivel about how bad we are. It's all the same. You know, so, but when you're brand new, you don't know that. You know, when you're brand new, you think you're unique. You know, that nobody has ever been as bad as you. You know, my sponsor told me one time, you know, Dave, if you stay sober, people will come to you and want you to sponsor them, and you'll think listening to somebody's fifth step is a big deal the first time. But along about the fifth time you hear somebody's fifth step, you're going to start thinking, man, doesn't anybody ever do anything new? So you need a sponsor to help you feel comfortable in Alcoholics Anonymous, to help you understand what you really need to do if you want to get and stay sober. Not if you want to quit drinking. You know, any goose can quit drinking. Do you want to get sober? Do you want to have a psychic change? Do you want your life to be one that you enjoy? You know, without being some, you know, without having to be some goody-two-shoes or whatever. So, how do you find a sponsor? What do you look for? So that's what I want to talk about briefly here. And you know, we're going to run a little bit past 12 here. So we're not going to be right on schedule. So those of you taking medications are up to you're up to yourself. Okay, so the traits of a good sponsor. Some of the traits. Nobody has all these traits, okay? But these are the kinds of things that you look for when you have to choose a sponsor. And the first thing is that their life basically works out in the real world. You know, that if they're married, they have a good marriage. If they have children, that they take care of their children. If they have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, that they treat them right, and that they are just their life works. That they have good relationships with the people around them, and that they're well thought of in their community and at work. You know, people tend to like them. And that they can be counted on to usually do the right thing. And that they seem to enjoy life. You know, that's a dead giveaway. They seem to enjoy their life. The next thing is that their life basically works in here, in Alcoholics Anonymous. That they have worked the 12 steps. They have fulfilled the conditions of the AA program. That they know about and they believe in the traditions, that they understand ideas like love and tolerance is our code. They're not judgmental. They're not arbitrary. They're not dogmatic. They attend meetings regularly. They are active in their groups. That is, they not only tell you that it would be to your best benefit to pick up coffee cups and wash them, but they do it as well. That if they tell you it's a good idea for you to help clean up after yourself, they clean up after themselves. In other words, that they practice what they preach. That they make and keep commitments to Alcoholics Anonymous, to their home group, and to other meetings, and to make and keep commitments to work on things like this conference because it's of benefit to others. I think it's important that a sponsor, that anyone you would consider to be your sponsor should have a sponsor. You know, my sponsor has a sponsor and my sponsor's sponsor has a sponsor. You know, my sponsor's sponsor is 47 years sober. My sponsor is 33 years sober. A good sponsor does not negotiate. Okay? They do not believe that the program and the steps are optional. They don't tell you that you can stay sober on the fellowship unless they really believe that. And if they do, in my mind, that disqualifies them automatically. I mean, you might go for a while on the fellowship, but, you know, well, we've fought that war. A good sponsor keeps faith with Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. Some people come in here and they don't like the word God in our book and in our steps, you know. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but it's there. You know, and sometimes you hear people, I don't know if you ever hear this over here, but in the U.S. sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, if your concept of a higher power is a light bulb or a hamster, you know, that's okay. Well, no, it's not with me. Not if I'm your sponsor, it's not okay. You know, how can you take it seriously if you have ideas like that, you know? I mean, silliness is not the thing. A good sponsor does not care if you are inconvenienced by meetings. You know, either you want to do this or not. I'm not going to work harder on your sobriety than you do. A good sponsor helps newcomers find things. You know, they tell you about the variety of different kinds of AA meetings. You know, sometimes we have book studies, sometimes we have step studies, sometimes we have discussion meetings, sometimes we have speaker meetings. Sometimes our meetings are open, sometimes they are closed. And a good sponsor will, you know, will tell you what all these things mean. A good sponsor will tell you what we consider to be the importance of a home group. Okay, somewhere where you have a commitment. A good sponsor encourages you to get involved in helping others who may not have the means to find their way here. You know, people who are in hospitals and institutions, you know, to go and see what you can do to help them. And they encourage you to be involved in all of those things. And by the way, this list that I made it so that I could pass it out. So it'll be sent to Aner and put on the website. So if anybody wants this, they can get it. A good sponsor makes sure that you have a job in AA, that you help make coffee or put up chairs or, you know, help set up a meeting or... See, in order for you to be comfortable here, you have to feel like you belong here. You know, and the best way to feel like you really belong here and that you are a part of this is to do something. It doesn't have to be much, you know, but if you have to go to your meeting 15 minutes early so you can put up chairs, you are a part of the meeting and the meeting is part of you. You know, I belong here. I'm involved here. I do something here. This meeting depends on me in some way. And you don't understand that at first. You know, when you're a newcomer like I was and they wanted me to wash ashtrays, I thought, you know, I'm not your janitor. Wash your own damn ashtrays. I don't even smoke. You know, and if you don't have a good sponsor, you think somebody's just trying to get you to do work, unpleasant work that they don't want to do themselves. You know, I don't care what somebody wants me to do. You want me to come to your meeting and talk? Great, I'll come and talk. You want me to come and help you put up the chairs? I'll do that too. You need the ashtrays washed? No problem. You know, this is my home. This is my life. This is where I live. And I insist on being involved in my own life. A good sponsor makes you aware of the rules and that you attempt to rise above the rules at your own risk. You know, and some of the rules, we don't have many. You know, we talk about we have traditions and not rules, but there are times when we have rules that we have to follow and they're not our rules. You know, we meet in places where they do not like for you to smoke or drink coffee. You know, they don't want you spilling coffee on their carpets. They don't want you smoking in their church. And a good sponsor will let you know that, you know, don't, you know, those rules are not our rules, but there are rules we have to observe, and it's important that you do that. A good sponsor makes sure that you are self-supporting through your own contributions. You know, anybody that for years and years and years in the U.S., it was customary to put a dollar in the plate when it came by. Well, inflation has taken its toll. Costs have gone up. You know, and if I'm your sponsor in the U.S., and you're only putting a buck in the plate, we're going to talk. You need to put two. You know, you're drinking coffee, you're eating cookies, you're sitting in a nice, warm, dry building to have our meeting, and a dollar's not enough anymore for you to be self-supporting for your own contributions. So, and a good sponsor explains that to you. You know, a good sponsor needs to tell you that we don't have a lot of money here. We never have. And that is to our benefit. All we ever do about money is fight over it anyway. So, you know, a good sponsor makes you aware of all the AA literature. You know, that there's a thing, and I don't know what it might be called here, but in the U.S. there's a little magazine that comes out called The Grapevine. There's a big book. There's a 12 and 12. There's a lot of different AA literature and things that may be a benefit to you. And a good sponsor will make you aware of that. A good sponsor will make you aware of the AA organization. Who runs this place, you know? I mean, who actually is in charge? Actually, nobody. You know, can you imagine trying to file a lawsuit against AA? Who would you serve the papers to? I believe that a sponsor should not argue or debate, but should present information. You know, dictators, anybody that has dictatorial qualities should not even be considered as a sponsor. You know, after all, it's your life. You know, it's your life. My attitude toward people I sponsor is it is my responsibility as your sponsor to give you all the information that I have at my disposal. And then you have to decide. It is your life. You have to decide what you're going to do with your life. A good sponsor does not lie and helps you to stop lying. And teaches you the simplicity and the benefits of rigorous honesty. You know, if it is not yours, don't take it. If it is not true, don't say it. If it is not right, don't do it. That's all there is to honesty. A good sponsor gets you committed in AA meetings. We talked about that. A good sponsor helps you form some kind of opinion, one way or the other, on things that come up in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, we have a lot of weird ideas that come up in here. Now, we mentioned one yesterday. Somebody had the idea that we should have a gender-neutral big book. Somebody says, well, the big book is really, sort of outdated. The language is old and stilted and, you know, and we should rewrite it. Well, I think probably a lot of us think that's a great idea, but who's going to do it? That's where we hit the skids, you know, agreeing on who might rewrite that book. So as a result, nobody's going to rewrite it. We don't trust anybody. I think a sponsor helps you understand that he or she nor anyone else in Alcoholics Anonymous is a loan company or a marriage counselor or a dating service or a sex therapist or a bail bondsman or an attorney or a doctor or any other professional. You know, a lot of us, I won't do that. A good sponsor doesn't play doctor. You know, I don't know if it's a problem here, but in the U.S., we have a lot of people that like to say that, you know, like to dictate what medications you may and may not take and still claim your sobriety. You know, this is not widespread in Alcoholics Anonymous, but you encounter it now and then. And, and if I'm your sponsor, if you have gone to a doctor and you have told the doctor, been honest with him that you are an alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever you are, and that, you shouldn't be taking certain kinds of medications because of your problems, and you believe your doctor understands that, and you explain to him what your symptoms are, and he prescribes a medication for you, and all, it is absolutely none of my business what that is. That is strictly between you and your doctor. It's none of my business, not anybody's business, but your own business and your doctor's business. You know, sometimes you get people in Alcoholics Anonymous and sober them up and find out you got a full-blown psycho on your hands who desperately need medication. They don't work without medication. Manic depressive disorder is very common in sober alcoholics. You know, Polly sponsors a young lady that has it, and I'm telling you, when she takes her medication, she is so spiffy. She is just great. And when she doesn't, she's a lunatic. So, a good sponsor leads by example, walks like he talks, she walks like she talks, and is not too rigid, not too casual. A good sponsor reveals himself or herself. You know, a good sponsor, I tell people how I feel now, how I felt in the past. What I thought along the way, you know, what kind of bad ideas I've had along the way, what kind of good ideas I've had along the way, what I've done, you know, I disclose any kind of information that I'll tell you anything you want to know about me. A good sponsor is patient and sincere and helpful. And finally, a good sponsor will help you, will encourage you to share what you've been given with other people. So these are things that you can look for, when you are trying to select a sponsor, trying to help get somebody to help you. As I said, I'm going to post this on the website, and you'll be able to look this over. And now I want Polly, who sponsors a lot of women, to come up and just talk to you in a narrative kind of way. I talk to you like she wants to, however she wants to. But, yeah. I'm thinking about letting her off probation.
Polyalcoholic. What I wanted to do was just kind of talk about how I sponsor. There's a lot of different ways to sponsor, and a lot of people do it a lot of different ways. But what I would like to do is just share in just a really general way what I do. One of the things that over the years with being sober this long, I've ended up sponsoring a lot of people. And I'm going to throw this out, and I don't want anybody to faint. This is not for ego or anything. I just want to let you know that we can do anything that's asked of us because we don't do it. God does it. I sponsor probably about 90 women. And that sounds like, how do you do that? How do you sponsor that many people? Well, I'm going to start off by saying probably more than half the women I sponsor are 20 years sober or more. So that starts. Because for some reason, I seem to get people coming to me that have long-term sobriety. So they either want to rework the steps or, you know, it's like, gosh, I need my enthusiasm back for Alcoholics Anonymous. And then I sponsor people in between. I don't sponsor very many newcomers, or I didn't in California, because what would happen in California, if you're a newcomer, you have to stand up for 30 days and then say you're a newcomer. And I'm telling you, when a woman would stand up in our meeting and say she's a newcomer, I'd be telling somebody I sponsor, you go over there and find out if she has a sponsor. And one of the things that I do is I just appoint myself a sponsor, or I have the women I sponsor appoint themselves a sponsor, because what happens when you're new, you don't know what a sponsor is. And I don't think people are qualified to interview sponsors with a few days of sobriety. So just go appoint them. Say, look, I'll be your temporary sponsor until you decide whether you want me or you want somebody else, and I'm going to pick you up and take you to a meeting. So that we get the people in the meeting right away and get it to be a part of the meeting. Let's get everybody to the meeting. Let's get you there. Let's just get them in the car. First thing, just get them in the car. Now, because I sponsor a lot of people, it's very difficult for me to take each and every person through the book. So what I do is I moved in October, so I have not restarted this yet, but for 13 years, I had 2 meetings a month in my home for the people I sponsored. And on one Tuesday, it was on the first and third Tuesday night of every month. And on the first Tuesday of the month, we did the steps in some variation. We either did the steps out of the big book, we did the steps out of the 12 and 12, or we did the traditions. One year we did the concepts, and I nearly lost everybody I sponsored. So, but the service manual was a little heavy. So, yet I believe we're going to talk about service. That's going to be our other topic. But that's what I would do. And then what we would do as we would kind of work the steps as a group. However, I would do the fifth step individually. So each person I would sit, for me to do a fifth step with somebody, I do 5, 6, 7, and 8, all in one sitting. And that usually takes somewhere in the vicinity of 4 or 5 hours. So I make an appointment and do that. And then I talk on an individual basis with the ninth step, and then I do 10th steps. And I'm the kind of person that believes you do the steps and then you live in 10, 11, and 12. And then continue to do 10 steps, of which we talk about. I also have call times because I worked and I had a really fortunate thing. You know, here's the good news, here's the bad news. I had an hour and 15 minutes commute to work, an hour and 15 minutes home. And in L.A. traffic, you don't drive, you inch, you know. You just kind of scoot down the freeway. So what I would do is I would take call-ins during that time. That gave me 3 hours a day on the freeway, or 2.5 hours a day, to take calls. I also got up at 4:30 in the morning, did my shower, what I had to do, my prayer and meditation. I have a headset. I put on my headset and start taking call-ins at 5 while I put on my makeup and get dressed for work. So there's always a way. And so I would take my call-ins, and that's what I do with, like, people who are there and also people who are out of town. Okay, I sponsor a lot of people out of town. And when I first started being asked to sponsor out of town, I didn't know how to do it. So I went to some people who know how to do it, and they instructed me how to do it. So what I do is they send me an email once a week, and they give me a call once a week. And then when we do steps, what we do is they make an appointment to either meet me where I'm speaking or come to my house, spend a few days, and we do the fifth step. We do 5, 6, 7, 8, all at one setting. Now, I'm just giving you kind of an overall view if you're feeling like, because one of the things that started to get to me is that, you know, I was taught in Alcoholics Anonymous, when you're asked to do something, the answer is yes. But I didn't know how to make all that work. So what I began to do was to ask other people who do it, how they do it. And, I mean, and there are people who sponsor lots and lots more people than I do and are much more efficient at it than I am. I'm just sort of learning how to do it and how to make it work. Now, I can guarantee you I couldn't sponsor 300 newcomers. I couldn't do it. I can't even sponsor 5 or 6 newcomers at one time because I need to give them too much attention. Right now I have 3 newcomers and that's really good. I have them at my house and we do the stuff that we need to do and they're the ones doing the little meeting that I have at the house. So we've just started that. So it's all possible if that's what, you know, if you're a person who's really my passion. And it's not everybody's step, okay? Everybody will find their spot in Alcoholics Anonymous now or not. Sponsorship is not everybody's deal. It just happens to be mine. My passion is working with other women. I love it. I love to do retreats with women. I love to work with other women. It's the thing I enjoy in Alcoholics Anonymous the most. And that's what it seems like it's sort of been my calling. I have some women who do wonderful service work at the regional levels. And I'm not very good at that. I just, you know, I'm just not a person that does that very good, but they're great at it. So find out what you like to do. There are people who organize these conventions. They have a gift for doing it. And you'll find out. And if sponsorship is your deal, then I highly encourage you to do it. I only sponsor for me. Now, I have people who sponsor in more than one program. Personally, I only sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous. Excuse me. I am a member of Al-Anon, and I have an Al-Anon sponsor, and I've worked the steps in Al-Anon. However, I only sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's just because I sponsor a lot of women, and it just keeps me focused. So that's just a little bit of a deal. I'm a big believer in writing. And one of the things that happens is somebody will come to me and they'll ask me to sponsor them, and then I'll say, well, why don't you write a little bit about it, send me an email or however you want to do it. Well, I don't like to write. And then I say, well, I'm probably not your person. Because I believe what the book says, pick up pen and paper. I believe in writing. I write 10 steps. I don't like to write either. But I'm not one who's concerned about what somebody likes to do. So I feel like these are the things that are necessary. And especially if you want to be sponsored by somebody who sponsors a lot of people, the work is really on you. Especially the people who are out of town. They're the ones who have to work the hardest. Because they're the ones doing all the effort. So those are just some ideas. Take what you want, keep the rest, or throw the rest away, whatever you want to do with it. But that's just kind of what I do. And Dave's an outside sponsor. His guys have to backpack and kayak and all that stuff. And so anyway, I think, are we doing a countdown now? We're doing a countdown. I turn it over to you. Thanks. Hi, everybody. Polly Alcoholic. What we're going to do is we have, Dave and I had kind of decided what are we going to do about the subjects, you know, when we got the email about what to do about the special topic. So we kind of decided on some and then we decide on again. So we've been asked to do a couple of things. So what we're going to do is like a few minutes of each one and hopefully we'll cover it all. So I'm going to start with service. And what it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is that an alcoholic will not survive the high and low spots of life if we're not working with others. So it's very important to be into service. And I think coming to a convention like this is a totally perfect example of service, because the people who have put this on have spent many, many hours working. And all of this, if you're new, is totally volunteer. They pay just like you pay, plus they work. It's all volunteer. And the people who I've been watching, sweepers and coffee servers and the people who are preparing the meals, who did the programs, there's so much going on, and it's tireless work. I mean, it's just, these guys really work hard, and they put this on twice a year. So it's a big deal, and it takes a lot of work. And it's a form of service, and people come and they help. And all you have to do to be a part of is just to say you're a part of and go do something. Just saying you're a part of ain't going to do it. You have to do something. So that is a form of service. One of the things that's a form of service is a commitment to a home group. One of the things that's very important is, in my opinion, which is shared by many people, is everybody needs a home group. And the important thing is to be in that home group no matter what. And what happens a lot of times, because I sponsor women who don't necessarily go to the home group I go to, And I have had two women that I've known who went back out and drank and came back to Monday Night Seal Beach, which was my home group in California, and they came to that meeting and they said, I knew you would be here. It never occurred to them I would not be there, because I'm always at that meeting no matter what. I don't speak on Monday night. I still don't speak on Monday night because my home group is Monday night. That's my commitment. And also, I have a job in my home group. So that's another form of service in my home group. I always have a job. Now, I don't always get the job I like. The last job I had at Monday Night Seal Beach Speakers Meeting was I cleaned the men and women's bathroom. That was my job. I was on the cleanup committee. I wasn't even the chairman of it. So this is part of that service. Now I'm the supply getter, like the coffee person to get the coffee, the sugar, the tea, you know, the grocery shopper for my home group now. Have a job in your home group, any kind of job. And if there are no jobs, be a greeter. Just be a part of the home group. That's service. Being a sponsor is service. Being the leader of your meeting is service. There's service at the general service area. Maybe some of you like to go to GSR. You like that level of service. That's a very important level of service. You start by being your group representative, and then you can move on to positions from there. All of this is service. Now, there's a lot of service outside of AA. Have you noticed the parents around here? That is service. 12-step work is service. One of the things that it's easy for me, I'd rather go hang out with my AA friends than go to some family dinner. Well, let's learn what's important. We need to go back and do those things. And what we're going to talk about after this is the family afterwards. So these are ways to be of service. Pick up the phone. One of the things that we're always saying is that newcomers need to call us. Newcomers are scared of us. So we need to call them. I'm glad I've never gotten too sober to call a newcomer. Call them. Invite them to say, we're going to a meeting. We're coming by to get you. Just reach out. Reach out. Talking to people at your meeting. Somebody walks into your meeting, be aware who's not a regular member. And if they're not a regular member, go talk to them. Service. Reaching out, helping other alcoholics. Maybe there's somebody in your group that doesn't have a car and they need to go to the doctor. Take them. Maybe they need to go to a meeting and it's raining and maybe they don't need to be on a bicycle. So take them if you have a car. Help one another. One of the things that we do really well in Southern California, and they also do it really well in Washington State, and that's we help each other move. I don't know if you're on the moving crew, but we help each other move. We help each other pack. I've been on both ends of that. Thank God people help. People have babies. Things, sickness happens. What happens? We go help. All of this is service. The most important thing that I need to be thinking of on a daily basis is what is it I can do for you? How can I help you? What can I do for you? Because the more I do for you, the better I feel. I don't know why that works like that, but it does. Because I'm trying, what happens for me is it appears like it would make me feel better if you did it for me. But for people who have a spiritual illness, it doesn't work that way. Because people can do for us and do for us and do for us, and it's just never enough. Never enough. So what we need to do is do for others. Constant thoughts of others. And I'm going to let Dave throw in a little, some stuff about service too. But you can look around. Just think about what it is you could do for somebody. If somebody's crossing the street, an old person, help them. Just help them. What is it? Just get up every day and ask God to help. One of the things the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says is to just ask to be of maximum service to God and those about me. There's a lot of moms right now chasing kids and doing this. I'd love to see, there's moms and dads in here, and it's wonderful to see other people picking up their children and loving them. Give them a little break. Those are wonderful things to do. Say your sponsor has a new baby. Maybe she'd like a day out. Why don't the sponsees gather up and give her a day out by watching her small children? Be a servant. Whatever you can do to help another person, to be of service, I guarantee you it will make you feel better than you ever dreamed. I talked earlier about sponsorship and said that I sponsor a lot of women. I don't have a clue what I do for them. I don't have a clue. But I know what they do for me. Because you see, as long as I'm talking to them and finding out what's going on with them, I'm not ever thinking about me. And because of that, I spend a lot of time talking about other people instead of dwelling on things about me. Because if I'm thinking about me, I'm going to be in self-pity in a nanosecond. But as long as I'm thinking about you, I'm feeling pretty good about what's going on. But what it requires to be a part of is commitment. A word Alkies don't do well with. One of the things that we do a lot of AA and Al-Anon stuff, especially with the women I hang out with, and we'll have a function. All the Al-Anons have their money in. The Alkies, you know, about 5 minutes before it's supposed to have, is there still room? Commitment. Be willing to commit. You want to go to the International? Commit. Sign up. Commit. You want to be a part of your group? Commit. If you want to know how to get to a meeting every single week, if that's your home group, get a commitment. That'll get you there. Get a commitment and keep it, no matter what. Okay, I'm going to let Dave share a little bit about that, and then we'll talk a little bit about the family afterwards.
You know, all my life, I have had people tell me things that were just pure BS. My parents tell me a lot of things that were BS. People around me have told me things that weren't true. And this is one, and you get to be skeptical, and you get to be defensive, and you get to think, oh, okay, whatever. You know, like your parents tell you, you know, just before they give you a spanking, that they're doing it for your own good. Really? You know? They tell you to eat your peas. Ugh. You know, it's good for you. No, it's not. You know, and sometimes, you know, we feel that way about doing service work in our lives, not just in AA. You know, you can't just come to AA and do that. It has to be a mindset. You know, you have to approach your life differently. You have to approach your life unselfishly. What does the book say is the nature of our disease? We are selfish and self-centered. We just think about ourselves. And service is a way, being of use, being useful to God and people around us, it's the only way I know of to really combat being so self-absorbed. You know, it is said that after the last echo from the last hill of the last dong of the ding-dong of the bell of doom has echoed, there will still be the plaintive voice of an alcoholic saying, "What about me?" See, the thing is, you're not doing this for Alcoholics Anonymous. AA doesn't need you. You need AA. AA doesn't need me. AA was doing fine when I got here. If I die right this minute, AA will continue to be fine. AA doesn't need me. I need AA. This is my life. AA used to be what I did. It has become who I am. It is the way I live. You have taught me to have a service attitude, to be courteous to people. Not for them, for me. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous is absolutely great in Denmark. And I don't mind you challenging me on anything I say. And so if you're sitting there thinking, how the hell does this jerk know what AA is like in Denmark? He's been here 5 or 6 days. I can tell you what I know about Alcoholics Anonymous in Denmark, and I can tell you what I know that causes me to say what I just said, that it is great here. It is great in Iceland. It is great wherever it exists. Because of Alcoholics Anonymous, because of your home group, your meeting. A little kid went to bed last night with a warm supper in his stomach, and he slept in a warm blanket, and he was kissed goodnight by a parent who used to be a drunk, who used to yell at him and hit him. Because of your home group, some lady is walking around today that does not have a black eye and a big bruise on her face. Because of your home group, some man has a job and is able to feed and care for his family. You know, how many lives do you have to save before you think your own life is worthwhile? Isn't it great to know that, you know, you don't see this sometimes. You know, you just go to meetings and you don't drink and all that stuff. You know, you just have no idea. People come up to me all the time and say, you know, when you said this, and they tell me something I said, really, did I say that, Tim? That's good. You have no idea when you impact people in their lives. And it's not a big deal. You just do the little things, you know. Somebody needs a ride home, give them a ride home. I had a job. We probably talked about me losing my job. You know, I was a big computer scientist, and I lost my job. And I had to go to work on a help desk. You know, answering the phone. Well, you know what they say about middle managers? You know, that they're old and tired and bored. Well, I was a middle manager, and that was what I was, old and tired and bored. And this is like over 10 years ago. And the only job I could find was working on a help desk. And my skills were, at that time, because I was a middle manager, my skills were rusty and all that. And what I wanted to say was, God, it has come to this. I have to work on a help desk, and I'm working for a healthcare company. And I have people like nurses calling me saying, Dave, my mouth doesn't work. What the hell do I care? But what I did is I went to work and I did what you taught me to do. I said, you know, somebody may piss me off today, but it won't be you. It won't be you. And I said, you know, these people that are calling me would rather not have to call me. They're calling me because they're having a problem. So when you call me and say, I have a problem, my answer is, I'll bet you won't when this phone call's over. And they don't need any guilt trips from me. They don't need me to suggest that maybe they screwed up, that maybe they pushed the wrong button or hit the wrong key. They don't need any of that. They're nurses. What do they know or care about some goofy computer? Now, you know, my job is to make sure that they get to be the best nurses possible and that all this geeky stuff that I deal with doesn't get in their way. And that's the attitude I took because that's the attitude you taught me to have. And I made close, really close personal friendships with many, many people. And when I left that job, my boss came and said, well, I didn't leave it. They sold the company. But my boss came to me and said, I know where it's a really great job, and I think you would fit there. Just really be just a good fit. And I'm the only person he came to and said, go look at this job. I think I'm the only one he said that to. And he didn't say that to me because of what he thought about me. He said that to me because of what all those nurses told him about me. See, if you come here looking for, it's so easy. I know the mindset. I've had it all my life, and I had it for a long time after I got into Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's stuff like, no, I am not going out in the parking lot and pick up cigarette butts. I don't even smoke. Let those lazy bums out there that put those cigarettes on that parking lot pick them up themselves. Put them in the can. We put a can out there. Let them do it, and it's easy. That's just because I don't want to do it. But I want to keep meeting in that church. I want my meeting to stay healthy. I want my meeting to be well thought of by the people that run that church. I don't want their parking lot littered with cigarette butts. And if I'm a member of that meeting, I need to do what I can to make sure my meeting stays good and strong and healthy. So that's the whole point, I think, of service. He doesn't need you. You need AA. You need to feel like you belong here, that you're part of this, that you belong here. This is my program. So that's the end of my sermon on service. And now we're going to talk about the Family Act.